We studied yesterday that to be of a doubtful mind. Let's look at a couple more things about it. Let's go to Acts 28. Paul is in Rome. It's about a year and a half before he gets executed. And let's look at it. Let's start in verse 16 so we can get the full context. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was allowed to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, I have called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm to thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him, and this sect, they're obviously talking about the people of the way, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening. Now, it's critical that you understand he was talking about them concerning Jesus out of all the law and the prophets. So, from morning till evening, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed, after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people, and say, Hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came to him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Now, this idea that most Christians have, that you know, there's a big difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. But here again, it's the same. He preached Jesus out of the law and out of the prophets. And so that's what's so important for us to see, that there is nothing, this isn't a new thing. Amen? And the whole idea is that you cannot understand, you can't see with your eyes, you can't hear with your ears, you can't understand with your mind. It can't happen. What?
What can't happen?
The gospel. You can't see it, hear it. Unless you be born again, you can't even see or perceive or even understand what the kingdom of God is. And so there's not, that's what drives me nuts about teaching, is that people try to understand with their mind. They try to use that which is cursed to gain that which is blessed. It can't happen. It's only by repentance. Amen?
I have this adamance you have about no difference between Old Testament and New. It's like it's certainly true on one hand, and it's something else on the other. It's like my age-old question, what difference did it make when Jesus came? What if he still hadn't come? What if he hadn't been born yet?
Well, again, if the temple and the Jews were still going, then it would be fine, because they were representatives of the entire human race.
But Gentiles were rejected.
But the human race is gone. That's the whole point. But everything about Jesus Christ is fully revealed in the Old Testament. And nobody heard then, and nobody hears now. You can't hear with your ears, or see with your eyes, or understand with your mind. It can't be done. You couldn't do it then, you can't do it now.
Can you see that?
Then I don't understand what you don't see.
What I don't see is why you don't see that the coming of Jesus Christ made a difference in what happens on this earth and in the body of Christ.
What the difference was, that it condemned the human race.
No small difference.
But they were already condemned because they didn't believe.
But when he came, something different took place.
What?
Gentiles were grafted into the body.
There were a jillion Gentiles grafted in before. Abel, all the way up through until Abraham. Enoch.
They were Gentiles? They were Hebrews, weren't they?
No, there was no such thing as Hebrews. Hebrews didn't start until Abraham.
There's a demarcation here that I can't get past. You're reading this in Acts.
Well, it's one of many, many places that says the same thing. Let's go to 2 Timothy. We read Acts 28, 26 through 28.
Yeah, I was thinking in 20 it talks about, for this cause I've called you to see you and to speak with you, because for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. It's like, it wasn't like the hope of Israel, the Jewish nation. It was the hope of Israel, the real body of Christ.
I Right.
I assume that was
the body of Christ began, the first one was Abel.
Okay, but address this right here. That takes it away from the point.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Well, for the hope of Israel, I'm bound with this chain. Bound to...
Right, he was in prison. He was in jail. He was under house arrest.
And yet it's for the hope of Israel, which Israel's purpose had ceased when Christ was born.
But look, okay, let's look at what we just read it about people's dull of hearing. They can't hear, they can't see. Go to 2 Timothy. Verse 14, chapter 3. This is talking about Timothy. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The only scriptures that they had this when this was written was the Old Testament. But that's not what he's saying. Listen. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's talking about the scripture. It's not talking about the New Testament. It's talking about the law and the prophets and the writings. There's nothing. There's no difference.
What is the difference? What is the difference you see?
The difference that Christ came.
Uh-huh. Difference in.
Well, he was personally seen. He was witnessed.
But difference in what?
Midsummer.
I'm just trying to see what.
Touching. The fulfillment and the time was fulfilled by God that he should be physically crucified,
mm-hmm.
and all of the scriptures had pointed to that, and here they were on earth in a space of time, and it happened.
Right.
Now, yes, I understand that he was preached in the Old Testament. All scriptures testify of him. But when it happened, then the prophecies were fulfilled.
But they were fulfilled in Abel, when Abel was killed. He saw. It's the same thing.
I mean, there's no doubt that in time things changed. Because, you know, like the nuclear bomb fell on Hiroshima. Things changed in history. It's a historical thing in time. But if you pull yourself out of time, there's no difference between the faith of Abraham and our faith. It's the same because we're still having the faith in Christ. They saw a foreshadowing. We see the complete. There's no difference, though. The faith is perfect. So something that's perfect can't change with time. It's his faith. It always has been his faith. He is perfect. The Holy Spirit is unchanging. God is unchanging. So those people, you know, have the same inheritance that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no difference between them and us. And, you know, nobody can deny that there was a change in history. The church was founded. There's all this stuff about, you know, with Christianity. You know, there's the things that happen in time. But outside of time, there's no difference. They have everything they needed to be complete. We have everything that we need to be complete. Because that completeness is not from us. it's from God, and it's Christ. And so...
And it was Christ before Christ walked,
right.
Because that's what Abraham saw.
Right.
He saw Christ's day.
So...
That
part is unchanging.
The thing that...
And I have no argument with that.
Okay.
Again, the thing that's the issue here is what it's always the issue. It's the thing of time. And that's why we must confess the Lord Jesus. That means we must hear the same thing and see the same thing. And so when we search the scriptures, we look at the scriptures from that point of confessing the Lord Jesus. And so time is gone. Hey.
Hello, Mike.
And so that's the preaching of the cross. Time is gone.
Okay.
Does that communicate a little bit?
I'm gonna have to deal with this my own self.
All right. Luke, would you get Mr.
Here we go.
We're in Luke 12. Now we just finished. Well, let's go to one more scripture. Let's go to.
What did we just finish? I didn't get that.
Oh, it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through 17. Now we're going to go to Isaiah a minute. Isaiah 65.
So are you in Luke or 2 Timothy or Isaiah?
Now we're in Isaiah.
Make up your mind, right?
I could be in Timothy.
Nice hat. Isaiah 65. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. And this is something I can totally and completely testify of. I am sought of them that ask not for me, and I am found of them that sought me not. Now, what does that mean? It means you don't go to God for any purpose, for your benefit. You are born not of the will of men, but by the will of God. That means you can't make a decision. It comes. He's revealed when you come to the end of yourself. But if you come to the end of yourself and then rebuild that which you've destroyed, then you make yourself a transgressor. And so it began, the shield come down. Comes down. Let's go to Isaiah 42. We're on it. Since we're going on these trips, we might as well continue. Verse 1, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. What that's saying is, the idea that a bruised reed he won't break and the smoking flax he will not quench, he's saying that there is nothing that interests him in time and space. He is only interested in the perfection of the bride. Does that communicate?
I've always thought of that as his humility, that he wouldn't exert himself even though.
Well, that's part of it. But the point of it is, you can continue ad infinitum on here. You can say he will not overthrow a government. He will not concern himself with what you do or don't do. He's concerned only about your seeing your death, that he might live in you. That's his sole concern. What?
Yes.
All right.
Well, I have a question. If you don't mind.
I mind. I pray for people to interrupt.
Do the two ever mix? I mean, does he become involved with time and space to affect or to bring the bride about?
No, everything in time and space is antagonistic to the bride, to the seed. And so everything in time and space is only as the womb of it has nothing, no other purpose.
It's just hard to grasp, like, if he spun all this into action, then why wouldn't he?
Because it was finished at the beginning. And whatsoever has been is now, whatsoever is to be has already been, and God requireth that which is past. The idea is that everything, when he rested on the seventh day, it was over.
So all the toil and turmoil is our will, not his.
Right. It's your lust, the man's lust that create the universe's problems. That's why the only enemy in time and space is your mind.
It's
crazy. It's childish. It's at best childish. It's at worst apostasy.
It's not involved at all about the people we come into contact with, the relationships.
Only in terms of the cross. I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Yea, though you have known Christ after the flesh. Know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, now we know him no more. It's a totally different universe. It always has been. That's why he rested on the seventh day. But all these things, it's comic book theology. Oh, I'm going out and I'm going to pray that my car starts. Well, sure, your car might start. But so what? That has nothing to do with God.
Your faith is tested in the realm of time and space. That's where this.
But it's his faith that's tested in time and space.
Okay, his faith, but it's tested, whoever it is.
Right, by everything.
In the realm of time and space, but the whole point is leading to getting out of time and space. To that point of.
That's why everything comes to the cross, your death. And only with your death can you understand the scriptures. That's why the baptism is so critical. If you weren't buried when you were baptized, you just got wet. It's the end. Verse 3, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth. and the isles wait for his law. We're going to just go down, we're just going to read a few here. Thus saith the Lord God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles. And that's obviously the revelation of Christ. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and to them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Now, it's not talking about a prison ministry. It's talking about that you have kept Jesus Christ prisoner in the deepest depths of your prison, and you the temple. Now in verse 14, I have long time holden my peace, have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs. I will make, and their herbs. I will make the rivers islands, and I will dry up the pools. And I will bring the blind by a way they knew not. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in their graven images, and say to the molten images, you are our gods. Now remember, the graven images are your ideas and opinions and stands, and your molten images are the emotions. He just laughs at it. Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? You don't make any, there's no judgments made about what you see with your eyes or hear with your ears. It's all about a new creation. Out of time and space. And the point of everything is, where are you dwelling? If you're dwelling on earth, I promise you 100%, you're deceived 100%. That's the evil one's job. Our dwelling place is no longer on earth. We dwell in the secret place of the Most High, under the wings of the cherubim. That's our only dwelling place. It's not a place we visit, it's where we dwell. If you go visit and then come back to earth, then that's what double-minded really means. Well, this isn't practical. No, it's not. This isn't prudent. No, it's not. But this is his way. He is the way. Not you. You can't learn the way. Only he can be the way in you. Amen? Amen. Don't be deceived by leaving the mercy seat and think you're going to understand something. Oh no, you don't understand my problems. Well, get the hell out of the world then. I am found of them that sought me not. Anybody have any response to any of this?
Yeah, this leads to being in the world, not of the world. That's a disconnect that we have to know.
The moment you take thought for self, the moment you return to cause and effect, the moment you judge somebody down, the moment there's somebody you haven't forgiven and you leave the mercy seat, you've fallen from the strong city. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for every situation. The joy of the entire world is this Mount Zion, the new Jerusalem, shrouded in the mystery, the city of the great king. Everything else is equally ridiculous. Oh, but you don't understand my problems. Oh, yes, I do. You're just common, ordinary flesh. There's nothing special about you except him in you, the only hope of glory. Amen?
Amen.
You're shaking your head,
I'm thinking, all that said, we're still put here. And the reason we're put here has to be just the one.
The one reason.
And that's the
Christ. That the perfect law, the perfectness, his holy perfect will be tested in you. The same it was in him. But it's already all because for some unknown reason, God requires the renewal of our mind. And requires that we also have the mind of Christ, which is total and complete emptiness before every situation. Leaning on never going reverting the cause and effect, never leaning on your own arm of understanding. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the only thing as a disciple is involved with is his temptations, not yours. You are they that have continued with me in my temptation. That's the definition of a disciple. But that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. But you don't have to worry about the way or what to do next because it's his life, his business. You're not your own. There's nothing about you. You're not your own business. But the moment you become your business, then what you've done is you've built again the thing that you destroyed. Actually, the evil one is built again, the thing that Christ destroyed, or that you agreed with for a time anyway. It's not complicated.
It's really simple when you see it.
Breathe in, breathe out. That's it. Every time you exhale, it's all of you is gone out. You can't live for another couple of minutes unless you inhale, and you inhale him. Something's unstated. What?
I don't think it's here.
Huh?
Here. Right now.
Take it big back.